We'd like to turn now to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Today we want to talk about being a vessel of honor. That is to have our bodies before the Lord and being used in honorable ways in the body of Christ. Now this subject is covered in three verses in 2 Timothy 2, and these are the only three verses we haven't read yet from this chapter. So we'll be finishing 2 Timothy chapter 2 this day as we look at the subject of being a vessel of honor. So here we go, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 20 and then look at verse 21 and 22. Now it says here, as the Apostle Paul, and I love it, the way the Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit of God, really relates to us in a way that we can understand. That every one of us has a household of some kind. Every one of us goes home and sleeps somewhere. And so he's using the example here of household utensils. And this word from the Greek, just normal utensils used in the household to take care of the household. Vessels referred to really as like bowls or cups or glasses and things, and the utensils of silverware and plates, and all of this is referred to from this word that's given to us from the Greek language. And so Paul begins to talk about a wealthy household in this verse. Now he says in verse 20, in a great house, you know, picturing a very great house with lots of utensils in it to take care of it, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earthenware. And it goes on to say there in that verse, some to honor and some to dishonor. And so what he's really referring to now in this example or analogy he's using is there are the gold and silver utensils are used for honorable purposes, such as feeding the family or guests that come to the great house. And then the dishonorable vessels, the ones of wood and earthenware, are used to take out the garbage, are used to actually, as one commentator says, to remove the filthy waste even from the household. And so we have vessels of honor in this rich household and vessels of dishonor used in disgusting ways kind of thing, you know, things you want to get rid of. What does this mean spiritually? Well, the Lord wants us to know that as we look at these things and consider the vessels of honor and the vessels of dishonor, we really kind of want to be a vessel of honor, don't we, in the household of God? Oh, man, that springs up in your heart. You know, Lord, teach me how to be a vessel of honor. And so we go on with that subject in verse 20, 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, King James says, and NIV says, if a man cleanse himself from the latter, which the latter referring to the dishonorable vessel deal, he, you see, will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, or actually separated totally to God, and meet or prepared for the master's use. Oh, to be a vessel, a body that's open and ready to be used by the master. What a blessing, what a privilege. And prepared unto every good work. And so the good work coming through the vessel of honor, honorable works, coming through the vessel of honor, instead of being involved with the vessel of dishonor. And there it is. Now, this clause then, at the beginning of verse 21, if a man purge or cleanse himself from these, we really want to know what that means. That's important. These are the things we need to be purged from. Now, as we look at the context of the scriptures, we get some large hints that really bring us to more understanding about what that means. And so let's go back to verse 14 and a little bit of review. And in the second half of verse 14, it says that there's folks that we're told as Christians not to strive about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers, or another translation, the ruining of hearers. We don't want to ruin people, do we? That'd be a vessel of dishonor to begin to ruin somebody by your words and your arguments and your angry disposition or spirit, ruining people. And, you know, of course, we know that we've been taught for years, both in the secular world and the Christian world, you should never call a child stupid. You stupid little dude, you're so stupid. And then just tell them that over and over again. They're going to begin to believe that. But we need to encourage our children. So I think this would be a good example of wanting to not become a strifeful person with a discouraging word to say instead of an encouraging word. We want to encourage our kids and point out their good points as well as correct them on their difficult points, and always speaking the truth, as the Bible says, in love, that they know that the love of God is behind all that you say to them. And so we don't want to pervert or subvert, I mean, hearers, or ruin hearers, but we want to strengthen hearers and bring things out that would edify or build up. And so that is being a vessel of honor. Now we want to go down to verse 16. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase more to ungodliness. So we don't want to take somebody on a road to ungodliness with going about and proposing and bringing about things that aren't of God, and vain imaginations that don't come from the Bible, and false teaching, which is really here a rebuke to the false teachers of the day. But we want to be careful to rightly divide the word of truth and to bring the truth to folks. And so they will be led to more godliness instead of ungodliness. So the person that would bring a person to more godliness is a vessel of honor. And a person that would bring a person to more ungodliness is a vessel of dishonor. Now, kind of a little example of this kind of thing. I remember when my boys were growing up, we would sit around the dinner table, which is a place of joy, but at sometimes the boys would like to say something gross at the dinner table. And then we got on this road of more gross. I don't know if you've experienced this in your families. Somebody has a gross story, and the next one's got something that's even grosser. And then the next one will have something even way grosser. And then so Sherry adopted a saying at the dinner table. It says, the conversation is becoming degrading. We're on our way down. The whole thing is a thing of degradation. It's degrading. And sometimes I would be with her, and sometimes I'd be on the gross side, you know. But it was a good rebuke, and it was good learning, right? We want to build up. We don't want to tear down. We don't want to be going the other way. That's a vessel of dishonor. We want to be a vessel of honor. Amen? Yes, so we have these examples here in the context of the Scripture. We have also other things in the context of Scripture that we'll look at in just a second. But we want to be sure that we know that the thing that we want to be about is moving towards a vessel of honor. Now, there is one Bible commentator that pointed out the fact, along with the NIV translation, you know, where it says cleanses from the latter being the vessel of dishonor. You don't want to hang out with folks that are vessels of dishonor to God. You want to love them. You want to minister to them. You want to invite them to the Harvest Crusade. And you want to just let them know that you want to be a friendly person towards them. But to hang out with them, to join together in fellowship, that is, joining in the things that they do, like let's go to the bar tonight kind of thing, is not something we want to do. The Scripture speaks against that kind of thing. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good morals. or good manners. And Ephesians 5:11 says this, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And that involvement. One more idea here is all-inclusive. And as you look at different translations of the Bible, you look at different commentators, many will say that this includes all sin. And I think you would agree. These things would include all sin. Sin and any influence to continue in sin is that path that leading to a vessel of dishonor. In fact, we have something in 1 Thessalonians 4 that refers again to this word honor. And it says, 1 Thessalonians 4, 4 and 5, say, every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, his body, in sanctification, separation to God. And honor, it says there, and honor. Not in the lust of immorality, even as the Gentiles or the nations or the non-believers who know not God. We don't want to copy society in our judgments about immorality and things like fornication, which is listed in that scripture above in verse 4, fornication, 1 Thessalonians 4. So we need to be careful about that and mindful about that. The world has gone crazy with it, but you and I are Christians, we're different. We just don't go there on that path. And we're becoming vessels of honor as we do that. Possessing our vessel in sanctification and honor. Hallelujah. That God will bring. And now this third idea then of including all sin and things that lead to sin in these things. If a man therefore purge himself, cleanse himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, ready for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Including all these things seems to be reinforced, there's the word, reinforced, in the next verse, verse 21. And let's read that, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts. Flee youthful lusts. And the NIV actually says flee also evil youthful lusts, and follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, this idea of fleeing youthful lusts, I'd like to say first, we got a poem this week that was so great from a brother, and some of you know him. His name's Clay Doyle, lives in Oregon. He used to go to church here years ago, and he's really good at writing poems. And so he wrote a poem and sent it in the email. And one part of it just struck me. It was so good. It's that redemption takes the things of youth and makes them holy. Isn't it just beautiful? Isn't that a beautiful thought? And I think of some of our youth in our church that are blessed. Of course, Pastor Steve got a lot to do with that. Yeah, hallelujah. And retreats. So many youth just really break before the Lord on retreats. They're so important. But the thing is that youth, there's a beautiful thing that God does with youth. But also, there's an evil side, of course, to everything. There's a good and an evil side. And the evil side is these evil youthful lusts that are, you know, really springing up and trying to take over our lives. And we're to flee from those. Flee from evil youthful lusts and concentrate on these other things. Now, you know, I started to think about this whole thing of youthful lust, and begin to realize that when you're a baby, you are very self-centered as a baby. You're just completely self-centered. When you're hungry, you wail until they feed you. And then, you know, if you're tired or you're wet or whatever, you just scream your head off until somebody takes care of you. You've never seen a hungry baby laying in its crib just going, "Oh, I'm so satisfied." No, they'll let you know. And it's you're just born into that, right? That happens. Okay, well, you grow a little bit. You get to 2 years old. And that can be hard on moms, 2 years old. And so for some, it's three. I think four, they level out a little bit. But there's an awful lot of selfishness going on. And so you have two-year-olds in a room with 65 toys. But they find one toy and are doing this. Mine, 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 mine. Mine, mine. You know, and that happens. And you go, you know what? This whole thing is true. Original sin is true, you know. And so you've got this little whippersnapper growing into this self-centered ball of fire, help me somebody, person. And then they come to the tween years, which is just before teenagehood. And hopefully it begins to dawn on them. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, like I was saying, there are so many beautiful children. And it happens in younger ages for some and a little older for some. And then you've got your 40-year-olds that are acting like babies. Yes, you are acting like a baby and just throwing all kinds of tantrums. I've told you this story before. This is a true story. Pastor Romaine, who was the rebuke pastor at Costa Mesa, he was like Chuck's alter ego. And Pastor Romaine would really tell you like it is. Well, it's very natural for him. He was in the Marine Corps, and he actually sang the Marine Corps anthem one time at church while Chuck was on vacation. It was so fun. But anyway, so he was a DI, you know, drill instructor. So you can tell the type of person he would be, and he'd like to slap people into shape. This one guy came to him in counseling and said, you know, my wife is bad. She's terrible. She's a wicked witch. I don't like her anymore. Da-da, ba-ba, ba-ba. And he said, would you please follow me? And he got up, and the man followed him. And he took him to the nursery. And then he took him over to the Pampers. And he grabbed a Pamper and said, put this on. You're acting like a baby. Oh, man. how to win friends and influence people, right? Great counseling. But, you know, it might have worked. But it is a famous story about Pastor Romaine, and I love it. I love it. One time I called him on the phone to ask him a question about divorce and remarriage because that was happening in the church. I didn't know where to go with it. And anyway, so I said, hello, Pastor Romaine. This is Mark Bowe from Calvary Chapel, Anaheim. Just trying to let him know who I was. And he said, so what? Oh, yeah, DI, yeah. But his heart was as big as all outdoors. And he was just kind of refreshing, you know, a good alter ego. But the deal is, and the truth of it is, you know, that we don't want to continue in self-centeredness. That brings death. And that brings really a dishonorable vessel to the table. Dishonorable vessel. That's really going to hurt people, subvert the hearers, and to bring people into more ungodliness. So we want to be converted. We want to be changed by the power of the Spirit into that powerful vessel of honor. Now, hopefully and prayerfully, as I mentioned, the change begins to happen. That the self-centered life is changed because of the power of God. Because Jesus Christ is a vessel of honor. He was given the Spirit and the gifts without measure from God. Everything he did was good and pleasing to the Father. He was truly the vessel of honor. And as he comes into my life and your life, as we give it up to him and ask him to change us and to work on us, to make us vessels of honor, that work is powerfully done in and through the power of his Spirit. And so we begin to actually experience then Romans 12:10. And let me read that to you. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, and there it is, the vessel of honor, preferring one another. And so we discover this reality in the course of time at different ages, different times. I remember when I led youth group, and I know Steve has done this too, is to teach the older kids to take care of the younger kids. And at one retreat, actually, we had the older kids serve the meal to the younger kids. And you know, in a public situation or arena, a normal public situation, there's no way that older kids are going to pay any attention to younger kids in a positive way. They're going to put them in the trash can. You know, oh, you're a freshman. Come over here. Here's the trash can. But no, we want to minister and be kindly affectioned to become that vessel of honor with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. And so that's the way we begin to work. So now with this, it helps us to understand these words that are given to us in verse 22 after flee youthful lusts. But follow, this is what we want you to follow, to be a vessel of honor, righteousness. And that means you're following Jesus because he's the righteous one. Amen? Yes. Faith. Faith in Christ and his ability to change you. Love and peace. Love or charity and peace. And so we're to follow love. And now this can really help us to understand more fully what is said in the definition of love in the love chapter, the agape love in the love chapter in the Bible. So let's turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. It's just very normal for children to be children, right? When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man or a woman, I put away childish things. It's just not good for a man that's 40 years old to be doing babyish, childish things and becoming a vessel of dishonor. But to put away those childish things, that self-centeredness. Put away that worshiping of self and become a man or a woman of God. For now we see through a glass darkly. We don't fully realize the full-blown power of God's love, but we will one day. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. God knows us very intimately, very closely. He is so powerfully instructive in the smallest of things in our lives. And one day when we see him eyeball to eyeball, we're going to know him that well. The glass darkly will be removed, and we're just going to be so blessed to see the true vessel of honor standing before us. And oh, how we want to grow in being a vessel of honor. Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. That's the greatest thing, because God is love, and God wants to transform you. He wants to reduce you to love, from all of the baloney and the salami up here, down to love, and just to serve one another in the Spirit of Christ and become a vessel of honor. And so he says to Timothy, follow love. And then he said also, follow peace. Now, there's a really neat scripture about this that is so encouraging for your everyday life. So let's go to 1 Peter 3, verse 10. Follow love, follow peace. 1 Peter 3, 10. Uh, I've always loved reading this and just asking myself questions as I go, and I'll ask you the question. For he that will love life, how many of you would just like to love life? Yeah, yeah. You ever find yourself saying, I hate life? I hate life. And you just wish you could say, I love life. Well, this verse is going to help you with that on your quest to be a vessel of honor. It says, for he that will love life and see good days. How about seeing a good day? Wouldn't that be nice? Said, hey, this has been a good day. You want to see some good days, and you want to love life. Let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile, which means deceit. Oh, if we begin to train the tongue, begin to cleanse ourselves, purge ourselves from that strife, from that negative talk that brings people down. You see, then we're going to learn how to love life, and we're going to see good days. Let him eschew evil. That's just a big old fat King James word to say, let's put away evil. Let's turn the other way away. Turn the back on evil and do good. Let him seek peace. And isn't that what Paul just told Timothy? Follow peace, seek peace, follow peace, and pursue it. Now, this scripture is actually a quote from the Old Testament. So we have this in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The same exhortation. You want to love life. You want to see good days. You want to wake up and go, it's a beautiful day. I am going to play that song to you. I keep threatening. And Charles and I are going to get together on that. This is my new favorite song on the radio. It's so good. And there's a place in there, it goes, where I'm going to get my worship on. And for us older people, what that means is I'm going to start worshiping God real strong. You know that song? Yes. You heard that song? Yes. I knew you guys probably did. Yes. It's a beautiful day, and I'm going to get my worship on. The Lord's going to hug me today. It's just an awesome song. Why didn't I bring that today to play to you? Sherry can play it on her phone for you, but it's not loud enough. We got to get it on these big speakers turned up. Yeah. And just kind of just dance out the doors at the end. We're going to do this. You'll see. It's coming. Okay. Now, we need Jesus to become the true vessel of honor that we want to be. We need him so desperately. Let's end with some scriptures in Romans. Romans chapter 9, verse 21. Romans 9, 21 through 24. And it says this. Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Yes. God is the potter. And it's like he gets a lump of clay. In fact, you remember the old song? He took 100 pounds of clay and made my life worth living. He created a woman and lots of loving for a man. That's an old song from 1960s Quacko. But that's what he did. He took the clay, the dirt of the earth, and he's the potter. And that's what he does spiritually. He puts us on the potter's wheel, and he begins to work with us and shape us and mold us. And he's making vessels of honor out of many of us. And as we just give our hearts and our lives to him and submit to the Lord, our life, he's doing this beautiful work of art to make this vessel of honor. And then there are the vessels of dishonor, those that refuse his work and refuse to accept him as Savior, those that dwell in non-belief about the things of God and the Lord Jesus Christ their whole lives. They become vessels of dishonor, on this earth. Now it says in verse 22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Now, those vessels of wrath that you sometimes want to just say, Lord, why don't you just kill those people? Because they are really bugging us and making the world a terrible place to live in. Boy, I think about the news item that we were praying about last night, the prayer meeting of these dear girls, Christian girls that were going to a Christian school. And I forget the area of the world right now, where's Nigeria. And these bad guys from some terrorist group came in and stole these girls from school and took them out in the wilderness. And they're just making all kinds of threats and probably scaring these poor little wonderful creatures to death. And some of them have gotten pregnant now. And it's just disgusting. You just want to throw up. And so this whole vessel of dishonor comes racing into our minds. These men are vessels of dishonor. These guys are the ones that would be taking out the garbage and are really bringing garbage into the world and so forth. And you get upset, you get mad. And so we pray. And Lord, let's just pray right now for these girls, these dear girls to be delivered. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray that these girls would be delivered from this ugliness that's going on. And Father, that you would bring these men to justice. And Lord, yes, we would pray by your mercy and grace that they would come to Jesus before it's too late. And Lord, we know, like the thief on the cross, the one of them confessed you at the last minute and was saved. Still had to go through that punishment for what he did. But he came to you and is in heaven today. So thank you for your ability to do that. So we ask for this situation. And Lord, just with all of our hearts, we pray that these girls could whistle and dance home. Lord, they could be found at home, safe and sound, and blessed in you. Father, please help, Lord. Do your work, Lord. Have whoever needs to catch these guys, catch them, Lord. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so you can see God is enduring, just like you and I. He's suffering. Long suffering is the word here. It means patience. God's being patient. He's trying to get as many to himself as he can before he's got to come and blow this place up. And so we're to account salvation to the patience of God, that we have time to win others to Christ. And that is a great commission. Go into all the world, making disciples and teaching them what I've taught you. But there it is, that God, you see, is willing to show his wrath and to make his power known. And he endures with much long suffering, his patience, these vessels of wrath fitted for destruction until the time comes. And surely they will be destroyed and taken care of. But verse 23 is so encouraging for you and I that know Jesus as our Saviors. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. So here we have in verse 23, the vessels of honor referred to as the vessels of mercy. Praise God. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. And so the vessels of honor are the vessels of mercy which he had before prepared unto glory. Even us. I love that right there. Even us. You can identify here with being a vessel of mercy and a vessel of honor. Even us, whom he has called to be Christians, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, of all nations. God has, in his mercy, called us. And as many as he's called, he's justified. And as many as he's justified, he glorified. And so we are prepared unto glory, as it says here, as vessels of mercy, vessels of honor. And so we seek this blessing from the Lord. God doesn't arbitrarily choose vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. He sees through history, through his foreknowledge, those that would respond to the love of the cross, those that would respond to his love, and then he chooses before the foundation of the earth those that he knows will do that. And the others are vessels of dishonor because they will absolutely refuse the blessing of God and will be burnt up in the fire. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it actually tells us here as we close with this idea, that as we go before the Lord, there's going to be gold and silver, the things of honor, and precious stones that will be run through a fire. And those things will remain because fire actually purifies gold and silver. And we will receive a reward from the Lord for what God has been able to do in and through us as Christians, as we've accepted Jesus as our Savior. But then there'll be wood, hay, and stubble, which parallels the wooden vessels and the earthenware vessels that will be burnt up in the fire, and that person will suffer loss. Now you see, for the non-believer that's never accepted Christ and never allowed the vessel of honor to flow in and through their bodies, their vessels, to make them vessels of honor, that person will have nothing but wood, hay, and stubble as a vessel of dishonor. And so everything will be burnt up. And they will find themselves in eternal disfellowship with God. And that's so sad. And that's the reason that God puts on our church and the churches around us and the people that go out to the stadium at the Harvest Crusade an urgency to be effective. And the most effective you can be is to allow yourself to be a vessel of honor, to be filled with the righteousness of Jesus and follow the love, follow the peace, and you'll see good days and you'll love life. Hallelujah. So let's pray together and then we'll have the band come out. Let's pray. So Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the vessels of honor in the Bible. And Lord, we thank you most of all for the precious, eternal example of a vessel of honor, our Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, work with us. Keep on helping us, Lord God, to build the gold and silver and precious stones in our lives. And thank you, Lord, that you have decided, which blows our minds, to reward us for what you did. You're amazing. So thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for making us the vessels of mercy. So we praise you and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you haven't accepted the Lord yet, it's really important that you do that before he comes back and he can get working on you, you know, to get some vessel of honor stuff going. So, we would invite you to come confess your sin, come into the room right here, the prayer room, and be saved. And we have a free Bible if you need it. So may the Lord bless you guys today, and just may his grace just overwhelm you with his like waves of love. And if you lost a bracelet in the bathroom, here it is right here. You can come up and get that too. God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.